Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. I have a table here, and I'm going to explain that in a minute, but I wanted to kind of talk about our country a little bit. You know, I don't know if you've gotten these feelings, but there's some things that we're a little divided on, and I'm sure you've noticed either through the news. I mean, some people are literally LOLing right now. Okay, like it's almost like you can only laugh about it to a certain extent, but either through the news or especially on Facebook, if you've been on there, I mean, there are so many opinions. And we're so divided, but I want to talk about our relationships coming together to minister to people who are different than us. We've got to minister to people who are different than us, because if we don't, how are we going to reach the world? If we only stick to our safe zone and where we feel comfortable, then how are we going to reach out to the people that God needs us to talk to and build those relationships and see salvation? So I, you know, when all this stuff was going down, like with the election and stuff, and it was actually really hard. I mean, I think many of you felt that way. You felt, gosh, I love them, and they think so different than me, and it's like, what's going on? And you didn't know what to do, but the Holy Spirit gave me a phrase, and I've been sticking with that, and he was saying, there is room at the table. There is room at the table for us to build relationships with each other, because the feeling is sometimes that we have to close it off and say, well, you can't sit with me. There's no room for you. You don't think like me. But how are we going to, as the body of Christ, reach out to others if we don't first connect with each other and build up each other and say, you know what? There's room at the table to have a discussion on this that we disagree about. Let's talk about it. Let's talk this through. Let's find the common ground, because that's what we need to do as Christians. That's what we need to do, because then we're going to reach out to the world around us. There's a temptation to close ourselves off from people who don't look like us, who don't talk like us, who didn't vote like us. We may be even saying, wait, tell me, which lives matter to you? Because depending on what lives matter to you, you can sit with me. Otherwise, you can't sit with me. I'm gonna be real. Is that cool? I mean, I think it's good that we do this, because there's room at the table. Because when we look at our differences, we've got to remember that there is a world out there that is lost and dying. And we have to also offer them a seat at our table. Turn to Revelations 3:17. Revelations 3:17, and it says here, you're thinking, oh my goodness, Pastor Dan talked about angels and demons this morning, and Pastor Michelle is going to Revelation as their first verse. No, this is going to be good. Revelations 3:17 says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and that you would anoint your eyes with an eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. We have a world that does not know that they're poor, that they're blind, that they're naked, that they don't have what they need, and they think they're going around eating the best of the best, knowing the best of the best. But we as a church need to sit them down and say, wait, you haven't eaten at this table. Yeah. Sit here. Right. Sit down. Let's have a conversation. I want to tell you about this food that never leaves you hungry. I want to tell you about a drink that satisfies you. I want to tell you about love that will surround you and never leave you. And church, we can offer that when we make room at the table. Even though we may have our differences on how we voted or what we, you know, certain things that we stand for, we can unite in one thing, that we need to fill the table. We've got to fill the table. We need to come together with our relationships so that we can minister to the world around us. That's what we need to do. See, people aren't coming to the table, maybe because they've been invited somewhere else to be. Maybe they're chasing the dream, the American dream. Maybe they're in a rat race to try to get as much money as they can. Maybe they're chasing after a certain body or a certain figure, catching up with their Kardashians or something like that. They're chasing after something that does not matter. Maybe they've had this wrong view about God, so they've never sat down at the table. Maybe they have this wrong impression of who God is. You know, when we, just a couple weeks ago, I got to have a conversation with an atheist. It was really cool. And so I was talking to him, and, I say, what's your name? And he was just saying, I'm not religious, and, I just don't go to church. And so I'm like, okay, he was just closed off, right? Closed off. So I decided to elevate the conversation and kind of not make it so pointed and say, okay, well, just tell me your story. Just tell me your story. Tell me about you. And so he goes on to tell me that his dad raised him, his mom has left them, his dad raised 5 kids, and he had an aunt, and for some reason this came up. He had an aunt that she went to a Christian camp, and she, followed Jesus, and then all of a sudden she got into drugs, and they are not allowed to talk to her. I said, oh, there it is. You've got the wrong impression of God. That's why you've believed to think that he's not even real, because you've been raised this way, number one, and you've gotten this wrong impression of who God is and what he's about. So I want to read you a story out of 2 Samuel. Go ahead and turn with me. And this is a story about a man who had the wrong impression of somebody. And that's what can happen to us in 2 Samuel. It's a story about Mephibosheth, which is a hard name to say, but a really good story. And so here's the background of Mephibosheth. Is he's the son of Jonathan, right? But let's take it back a little bit. There's King David and King Saul. And so King Saul is getting out of being in the kingdom. He's not no longer going to be king. There's this war that's happening, and King David is coming in. Now, King David is BFF, best friends, with King Saul's son, Jonathan. See, people say the Bible is boring, and I don't get it, because I'm like, this is really interesting, right? This is like over a novella. Tell me the story of David, okay? And so, King David is best friends with Jonathan, and then they end up dying, and King David is in power. And there's this verse, and it says, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came to Jezreel. And so what had happened was is the war broke out, and the nurse had picked up Mephibosheth, and she ran out of fear of dying because of King David. Well, then she dropped him, and he became lame in his feet. So his whole life, he was afraid of King David. He was afraid because that's what made him lame. That's what made him hurt. That's what stifled his life. So years go by, and King David says, you know what? Is anybody in the bloodline of Saul or Jonathan? Because I want to show them love. I want to give back to them. I want to honor them. And so it comes about that he hears about Mephibosheth. And so he calls him into the kingdom. Can you imagine the fear of this young man who's being called into the kingdom of what he thought ruined his entire life? So he's getting called in, and King David is saying, I'm so glad that you're here. I wanted you. I wanted to know you. I wanted to bless you. And so he says, Jonathan, Saul's son. Oh, wait, go ahead and go to the next verse. Sorry. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 1. Chapter 9, verse 1. Now David said, is there still anyone who is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now skip down to verse number 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and he prostrated himself. He fell on the floor and he said, then David said, Mephibosheth, he said, yes, here is your servant. Next verse, and then it goes on and it says, so David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. I will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and ye shall eat bread at my table continually. He's getting a new perspective. King David wasn't out to hurt him. See, there's a world out there that has a wrong perspective of who God is, but we get to invite them to the table. We get to invite them to the table and elevate their thinking of, no, let me show you what's at this table. Let me show you what's at this table. And then the next verse, it just shows you Mephibosheth's attitude. He says, and he bowed himself and he said, what is your servant that I should look upon such a dead dog as I? He said, who am I? I'm like a dead dog to you. And from that point on, he got to eat at the king's table. King David said, no, I'm going to treat you as royalty. You get to be a king's son. I'm going to bring you into the kingdom and you get to be at this table. See, church, the world has this wrong idea of who God is. But we get the ability to build relationship with them and show them who God is, the goodness that he has for us. He was afraid. There are people who are afraid of God and they won't step into those doors. We need somebody to tell them about Jesus and invite them in. There's a girl out there who shows too much skin because she's trying to get attention. We need to show her her value, church. We need to bring her in. There's people out there who have loss in their life. They've lost someone close to them. They're mad at God, and we need to bring them into the church, and we need to show them, you know what? God wants to wrap his arms around you and fill that gap in your life with the love of Christ. Church, we've got to reach out. We've got to reach out. So I want to just tell you three quick ways how we can fill the church and bring that relationship and invite people into the table. Build that relationship. Number one is we need to have a burden for souls that will fill the table. A burden for souls will fill the table. I want to read to you a verse out of, it's Matthew 11:29. And we know this verse and we say it a lot. It says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then the next verse says this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I could try to teach a 3-point sermon on, you know, how to have this burden for souls, but it's almost something that's really hard to explain. It's just something that you put on yourself that God gives you. Where the burden, you know, it's light and the yoke is easy, but it's always with you. It's not this heavy thing that you're carrying that feels like you just can't go on in life, but it's just always there. And you're just always thinking about people and loving people and just thinking, how can I share the love of Jesus with them? It's a burden for souls. It's someone who sees opportunities, who has compassion on people. You know, I was just at lunch on Thursday with Pastor Jessica, and, you know, we were having lunch at Black Angus or something like that, but we all hit it off with the waitress really well, and she just, you know, we're leaving, and she just kind of says, hey, you girls should come to church tonight. That's a burden for souls. It's just natural. It just comes off of you. It's not that she was in intercession the whole time, you know, while she was eating or mashed potatoes or whatever. Okay, it was just that it was just, you know, it just came off like that. Okay, you girls should come with me. It's that compassion, that burden. And that's not the first time that I've seen her do that. I've seen her do that a few times. Yeah, she's like, what? And that's a good impression, and that's a good example. That burden for souls. You know, there's a parable about the lost sheep in Luke. If you turn with me to Luke 19, there's a parable about the lost sheep, or Luke 15. Because we are all full-time ministers. And when we see people as God's people, then there is this yoke and this burden for souls that will realize, you know what, these are God's sheep. These are God's people. You know, a while back, I kind of got into this situation with somebody. It was somebody that I mentored. It was someone that I poured into. It was someone that I loved. And all of a sudden, they did this thing that I just couldn't believe they did it. I don't know if you've ever been there in a friendship or relationship, and you're just like, I cannot believe that they just did this. And it was very disappointing. And there was definitely a temptation. And in fact, the first thing I wanted to do was, fine, you don't get to sit with me. I've mentored you. I've poured into your life. You know, I've been there for you. you know better than this? And I was so upset, I couldn't even respond to what they had told me, and I just wanted to turn my chair. And then the Lord reminded me of, in Luke 15, go ahead and turn there. Because sometimes we think we have the right to push people out of our life. And then in Luke 15, it says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, to hear him, to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. He invites them to the table. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 just persons who needed no repentance. My thought was, you know what? I have the right to just remove her from my table. And the Holy Spirit said, that's my one sheep. That's my sheep. Michelle, you're called to keep her at your table. Yeah. You're called to love her because I rejoice over her. Yeah. And even though she may have messed up and walked away, you bring her back in. Yeah. Because that's my sheep. That's a burden for souls. Yeah. Because those lost sheep are God's heart. This whole chapter, I would encourage you to go home and read it on your own this week. Because it goes on to talk about the lost coin. Someone who loses a coin and they search everywhere for it. Then it talks about the lost son. The son who's gone away and then he's come back. See, Jesus is after the lost people. And we've got to have that burden inside of us. We've got to have that burden with us. We've got to keep it with us. Another thing that's going to fill the table is Spirit-led invitations. Spirit-led invitations. Just like I mentioned with Pastor Jess, she just found that moment to invite somebody to church. In Luke 19, go there with me. This is the story of Zacchaeus. And yes, I grew up in children's church, so I know the song. Does anybody else know it? Zacchaeus was a little man. A little man. Okay, go. I'm not the worship leader. Okay, but Zacchaeus was this little man, and Jesus was walking through, he was walking through the town, and he wanted to know what's up. And he was the chief tax collector. This was not a good person at all. But he wanted to know, who is this Jesus? And so he climbed up into a tree. And when Jesus was walking through the town, he saw Zacchaeus. And it says in verse number 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And there it was, a Spirit-led invitation. And he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, he came down, and he received him joyfully. But when the other people saw him, the Pharisees and everybody, they said, they complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. It sounds like something we're supposed to be doing if Jesus did it. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I have half of my goods. I give half of my goods to the poor. If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to your house, because he also is a son of Abraham. That was a Spirit-led invitation. He saw Zacchaeus. And you know what I love about Jesus? Is that Jesus didn't say to him, hey, chief tax collector, sinner, come here, sit with me. I got to tell you about all the things you need to change about yourself right here, right now. You come here and sit with me. He called him by name. He told him his name. He said, Zacchaeus. He treated him with respect. Yeah. See, sometimes we want to be like, millennial, come on over here. I got about 10 things I need to read to you right here, right now. Right? We do that. You know, and it seems right, but at the same time, is this a Spirit-led invitation? You know, helicopter mom. mom. Yep, you're parenting. Let's talk about it. It's not going to work for this next generation. And we start to call people names, fornicator, lukewarm over here. I got something to change you. But a spirit-led invitation. With time, Zacchaeus was able to hear the word of God and to give back, and salvation came to him. So what does an invitation look like? It could be something as simple as, can I pray for you? It could be like, let's do coffee. Come on over, I'm making tortillas and I'm going to teach you how to do it. Something just so simple. It doesn't need to be so detailed and just, you know, point blank. Here, are you going to serve God or are you going to not? What's going to happen? We've got to build those relationships. There will be those moments and they will be spirit-led. But I want to encourage you to look and build that relationship. You know, my friend Cynthia, she's just this amazing girl, right? And she's, me and her are kind of onto like this sinner radar thing. We're like, tell me how you've talked to some sinners lately. And she'll tell me her stories and I'll tell her mine. And so, you know, me and her are both on that little atheist kid, man. I mean, he got it from all angles. And so she was telling me, she's been praying for her school and she's been trying to find ways to build relationship. And she's been trying to build relationship with people who want nothing to do with God. I mean, there is a group of students at her school that they want absolutely nothing to do with God. But she's working her way in and she's being led by the Spirit and she's trying to build relationship with these people and they're seeing it. And so she got invited to this party and you may be thinking, oh, wait. Let's remember the table. Jesus sat with the sinners. She got invited to this party and it was an avocado party. And your ticket in was to bring the avocado. Now, I think that's really cool. So I might steal that for something, but, and everybody made guacamole, okay? And so they're all making guacamole and she's showing the love of Christ. And when things got a little too crazy, she buzzed out. But my point is that she's building relationship with these people. She has this other story of, she went into Barnes and Nobles and she went down the mysticism aisle. She just walked down and she sees somebody. She sees a young person. She says, hey, what are you looking at? And they start talking about how they're kind of bipolar and they have these problems. And she's like, you know, I think I know someone who can help you with that. You know, it's like, I know a guy, right? So she ends up like exchanging her number with this girl and they start getting in this text message and she starts finding out that this girl's worshiping some pagan god. It's like, I could tell you what, you're having some problems with some bipolar stuff. Pastor Dan's message this morning. And she is working her way in by that spirit-led invitation. Come on, guys, we can do this too. We can wedge our way in there. Let's just go down those Barnes and Nobles aisles and start speaking in tongues, Jesus' name, do all that kind of stuff, and we'll find somebody. We'll find somebody. Be led by the Spirit. I remember as a teenager, you know, I've grown up in this church, and this has always been something part of the Rock Church. That's what makes the Rock Church amazing, is that it's about souls. And it's about that burden for souls. And I remember as a teenager, I used to work at this sandwich shop. And, you know, I would be able to bring home these sandwiches. And so I had a bag of sandwiches I was taking home to my family. And all of a sudden, I see this other, you know, family that was homeless on the side of the road. And so I think, you know what, the right thing, I'm 16 years old. And I'm like, you know what, the right thing to do is I'm just going to stop and I'm going to hand them these sandwiches. So I pull over, I get ready to hand them the sandwiches. And I recognize this is a guy from my high school. This is a student that goes to my high school. And his whole entire family is living in a doorway that has just a covering about this much from anything from the weather. And this is what I'm talking about, spirit-led invitation. To be able to hand him those sandwiches and to say, you know what, God loves you. And if you need anything, I go to school with you. And be able to minister the love of God to him. See, that's what we can do as we look for those moments and those opportunities. Just like Jesus did with Zacchaeus. I want to encourage you to step out on the limb and do that stuff. It's going to fill the table. You know, another example is Sandy Simonson. I don't think she's here tonight, but she's a woman in the church. She's an amazing woman. And she's, you know, she's a little bit older. And she decided to take out Reverend Beth and Ariel. And these are people who, you know, they have decades apart from each other. But she said, there's room for you at my table. I'm going to close the generational gap. Yeah. I'm going to, let's talk. Let's build a relationship. And she's just, you know, just doing that, giving the invitation to build relationship with people. Number three, the last one is this, is that when we have a burden for souls, when we look for those invitations, then salvations will fill the table. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. As we put it out there, as we invite people, and then all of a sudden, salvations will be able to come in. In Matthew 22, verse number 9, I know some of you are thinking, Pastor Michelle, you have all these unholy, ungodly people sitting at my table. I want to have a standard of holiness and righteousness. I got you. I get you. And in Matthew 22, we see the parable of the wedding feast. And there's a story of a king who's having a wedding feast for his son. And he invites all these great people to come sit at his table and to celebrate with him. And none of them would come. They all had excuses. And so then the king gets angry and it says, let's see, in verse number 9, it says, therefore, go into the highways and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So the servants went out into the highways and they gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who he did not have a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Our job is to get them to the table. Our job is to get them here, to have the conversation with them, to tell them about Jesus Christ, to say, you know what, this food here is good. This is what you need. This is what you've been waiting for. And they're going to see what Christ offers, and then they're going to make a decision. You know what? I can't swallow that. I'm sorry. This isn't for me. They're going to make that decision, or God is the judge, and he's going to be the one who's going to judge them. You and I, we don't have to do that. We get to invite them to church. We get to invite them to the conversation about God. We get to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. We get to do that stuff. We get to offer them salvation. And then God does the hard stuff. He's the judge, okay? That sounds so difficult. God, you gave me the easy job. I will go and invite the good, and I will invite the bad, and he will judge them. And there is sometimes this temptation to judge it for ourselves, right? There is this temptation to be like, well, I can tell that they're not going to do it or they are going to do it. But I want to encourage you that in Matthew 13, there's the parable of the wheat and the tares. And it was when the enemy came in at night and in someone's wheat field, he sowed tares. And they said, do you want us to go through it and weed them out now? And the king, the owner said, no, let's just wait till it grows up. Let's just wait till it grows a little bit and then we'll find out. See, you and I, we get the job of being able just to present it to them and offer them that salvation. Offer them that salvation. And can I say another thing too, is that Jesus, even Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, of his beloved and his betrayer. I want to encourage you with that. He knew he was going to betray him and he washed his feet. So let's show the love of Christ to people. Let's show the love of Christ. Now, the world may not want to hear that they have to change, right? You're like, oh, this is the food I should be eating. I need to change my actual diet. I need to try something else. And it's going to be hard to do, but you and I get to do that with grace and with love. And we get to tell them that God accepts you at this table. God loves you at this table. And at this table, there is the ability to change. There is that ability. Beth Moore says this. She says this, don't let someone's tattered view of grace trick you into thinking that you cannot be liberated from your blatant rebellion or sin just because they haven't. We may look at people and say, oh my gosh, I just don't even know if they can handle me at this table. I just don't know where they've come from. I don't know anything about them. That's okay. Invite them and offer them grace and offer them the love of Jesus Christ, because God has the power to do all of that. God has the ability to save them. So wrapping this up, we can go ahead and we're going to do a little song that I just want to be ministered to you. But wrapping this up, Rock Church, in relationships, getting it together in relationships, what does God have for us? He has bigger tables. He has more seats. He has more invites that you and I get to do. We get to be a part of. And we get to invite people to the table. So I want us to remember that sometimes it's hard to think, I don't want to invite anyone to the table. I don't want to do this job. I don't want to tell somebody about Jesus again and again. But I want to pray in just a moment for that burden for souls for each of us. And I want us to remember the story about Mephibosheth. We were all Mephibosheth. We were all had this wrong view about God. And then someone invited us to the table. You know, I was just a kid who was invited to the table as a child over in children's ministry. What was your story? How did somebody invite you to the table? So the guys are going to sing this song. It's called Carry to the Table. It's by Leland. And I want you to just let this minister to your heart as you reflect on the message that was just brought forth. You're welcome to sit, stand to your feet, however you want to do it. But let's go ahead and just lower the lights for a second. And let's go ahead and just let this minister to our hearts. We've all been given the opportunity. We've all been given the opportunity to sit at the table of the Lord. Isn't it good to reflect on that? Doesn't it feel good? Isn't that a way to worship God and to be grateful? See, when we're grateful for our salvation, it gives us a whole nother passion to love somebody else. When we sit back, remember where He's taken us out of, how we were carried. Tonight, I want to pray for us to have a burden for souls. It's the first step to see this table filled. And if that's you who you're saying, you know what? Yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord, I'll be on call, God. Whether it's at the store, whether it's at a conversation in my workplace, whether it's at a family gathering. Father, I want to build relationship with people and I want to invite them to the table because, Lord, I want to see salvations. If that's you, why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to go before the Lord and we're going to say, God, we're the Rock Church. We want to go to that next level, that full-time minister anointing on us, God. See, full-time ministry, we can say, well, isn't that just the ministers who are up here? No, there's a saying at the Rock. We're all in full-time ministry. We're all looking for opportunities. Let's just lift our hands towards Him. Father, I thank You for the anointing that's in this house, God. I thank You, Lord, that You've reminded us, God, where we've come from. And God, we're so grateful. And we say, Lord, bring us opportunities. Bring us opportunities, Lord God, to invite people to the table. Let us see, Lord God, those Spirit-led invitations that we can give out, Father. Let us have boldness to speak it, Father, and love, Lord God, to deliver it, Lord. And God, wherever there's somebody, Father, who looks like they need You, God, let us pay attention to the Holy Spirit and just jump on it, Father. I thank You, Lord God, that we are stepping forth, Father, and we are saying, use us, Lord. We want to be used. We're opening ourselves up and saying, God, use us, Heavenly Father, because we believe that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Amen? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.